is the Hollywood Outsider. Welcome to a special episode of our show. We're talking 100% about the latest George Miller foray into hell, Mad Max Fury Road. If you were looking for the latest regular episode of The Hoe, it's still there, so go check it out. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, go to iTunes, Stitcher. You'll find all our recent episodes, reviews, whatever you want. Share them with your friends. Tell your mom.
RSS feed. Hopefully you know what that is.
RSS feed. Hopefully you know. Not everybody does, apparently. If you have not seen Mad Max Fury Road and you want to remain spoiler-free, now would be a great time to listen to that previous episode, because from here on out, spoilers are allowed. And I do want to say, I want to preface this podcast with, I have to leave right after we're done with this. So the editing is going to be minimal. So anytime Scott says something he really shouldn't, it's still going to be here. Doesn't mean he has to do it. Speaking of Scott, joining me for this nonstop vehicular ballet is Scotty Clark.
Ooh, vehicular ballet. That's like poetic.
I've been working on that for like 10 minutes trying to make sure I could say it correctly.
You can't pronounce anybody's name, but you can say vehicular ballet.
What's going on, man?
Tired, man. It's been a long day, but I ended it with this flick, so it was pretty exciting.
And kind of what we're going to do is just our reactions. You know, we're going to do, it's a spoiler cast, so to speak, but it's not a horribly thought out one.
Right. And I think we should go into this thing. We both, well, you went to a little earlier than I did, but I just walked out of this movie.
So are you pumped? Do you want to like crash some cars right now?
I kind of do.
Do you want to grab a polecat and just bounce ping back and forth?
Oh, man. Man, I there was hardly any time to breathe in this movie.
Now, just because some people might not have seen it yet, so before we start the spoilery stuff, just real quick, what's your quick verdict of it?
Quick verdict?
Yeah, just quick walking out. You haven't had time to settle, so you are forgiven if, like, come the regular show, you decide,
sure,
lowered it a little bit.
Well, I went in with super high expectations. I talked to you a little about that before we started recording. The reviews have been stellar. So I went in just thinking I was going to absolutely love this movie, be blown away. So I kind of went in expecting a little bit too much. So I don't want to say that I'm underwhelmed, but I didn't come out as hoorah as I was expecting to be. That's not to knock the movie at all. It's just...
You had your sights. Well, that was your most anticipated of the summer, right?
Exactly. It was my most anticipated. Probably, I don't know if it was my most anticipated of the year. It might have been. I've been so stoked for this movie. But this movie was gorgeously shot, for one. It just looked incredible. It felt like a movie from the 70s with today's technology is really the best way that I could describe it.
Like George Miller has been waiting for 30 years.
It felt like
finally I can make my movie.
Because how old is he? Isn't he like 79? He's 70?
And for people that don't know, George Miller is the director of Mad Max Fury Road, also directed the original films, which almost never happens.
So. And the villain is the same villain from the original Mad Max?
He played a different role. Toe Cutter, I think, is who played in the original.
But he's the main villain.
Same guy, yeah.
Right. What about you? What's your take?
Well, what's your, like, if $10 is the full price admission, do you know yet?
Or I do. I actually was sitting during the credits because waiting to see if there was an after credit scene, which there's not. So if you are going
to
see
leave.
It.
You can pee.
You can leave right after.
I really had to pee. Thank God for MediaStinger.com.
I gotta install that. Is it an app or is it just a website?
I just go to the website.
Oh, do you?
It's a great website. If you've never looked, hey, if you're waiting in the movie, you want to know, is there something afterward? MediaStinger.com. Godsend.
As far as final verdict, like I said, I love the visuals in this. The cinematography was incredible. I actually kind of appreciated that there wasn't a whole lot of story for this kind of movie, which doesn't sound like me because I usually am a big character development kind of guy. But I really appreciated it because all I wanted to see was cars blowing up and flipping, and that's what I got. So, like I said, my expectations are a little high, so I loved it. But if $10 for the full price of admission, I'd give it 8 out of 10.
I gave it a 9.
9?
Yeah. And I'll get into why, but man, I didn't have a single minute where I was looking at my watch, even though I don't wear a watch. But if I did, I would still be looking at it.
An Apple Watch?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be an Apple Watch. It wouldn't work because I don't have an Apple phone. There wasn't a moment where I was just like, man, I would love to get a refill. This is a great moment to go do that. Loved it all. I mean, there's no story. There's no story. I'm getting my concubine over here. You know what? Let's go back to where we started. Okay. That really is that's the entire plot of the entire movie. And I didn't care. I didn't care. They did a good enough job to make it work.
I think the reason that I give it just a notch lower than you did is because I went into this thinking this is a movie that I'm going to see a second time in the theater, and I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray, and I'm going to watch it a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a one and done for me. Not that sounds harsh. I don't mean that as harsh as I do. It's just that I think a lot of it, a lot of the really cool action sequence in this, I've seen in the trailer, which I unfortunately couldn't avoid because it was in front of every movie I've seen in the past month or two.
I didn't think so. I thought most of the action I saw happened in the first 20 minutes.
Really?
So maybe I didn't really watch any trailers after the first one.
See, so, I watched the second one.
Yeah, I heard everybody, oh, the second trailer is fantastic. I never watched it.
Right.
So I wasn't spoiled. Really?
I wish I hadn't seen the second trailer.
That's too bad.
Because there was a lot that I was like, oh, that's really cool, and I'm waiting for it to get pushed to 11, and it had with the trailer. So, again, that's not a fault of the movie. That's a fault of mine for not avoiding the trailers like I should have.
Stupid Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad Scott.
But
if I had a newspaper, I'd hit you. But nobody reads those anymore. So
what do you want to do? You want to get into some like specific scenes?
Yeah, or? And before we should mention Justin and Brian couldn't be here. There's a badassery requirement, and they didn't make it. So just Scott and I are doing it. So it's going to be our reactions to the movie, what we did or didn't like. We're pretty pumped, so we're going to try and just have fun with it.
Oh, I'm with the cool kids for once. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Just you and I. Let's dance. Well, we already talked about if it's most anticipated and or how it is your most anticipated and what you felt about it. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch the old Mel Gibson ones?
I watched the first one.
Actually, that's right. We just talked about
it. In preparation for this one coming out, I was like, I better go back and watch these.
Now, what did you think? Because it's almost like a sequel. It's just basically he's like, Mel Gibson's Tom Hardy now.
Well, I only watched the first one, and I was all pumped going into that, and the movie was boring as hell.
It's not an action opus.
It's a revenge tale, which is really cool, and I think if I would have gone into that knowing that's what it was, I would appreciate it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But it was a very just dour revenge tale.
Yeah, it's a drama, mm-hmm. Really.
It's more of a drama than an action. I think, in my mind, Mad Max is what this movie was, in my mind. And from what I'm being told by the people that I went to see this with, mm-hmm. Hey, Scott and Vicky, they said that the second and third ones were basically, this was a combination of both of those films.
Yeah, and the third one had Tina Turner.
Right, which I did
not know. We don't need another hero. I was going to throw that in the podcast, and I'm like, that's just too cheesy.
I disagree. I think you should go back and do it.
You just throw it in there?
Yes. So yeah, I kind of was soured a little bit on Mad Max after just seeing the first one. I was like, man, so I just didn't bother with the second and third. I'm like, wow, this is what everybody's been raving about. I'll just wait for Fury Road.
Oh, that's too bad, man, because yeah. Road Warrior is fantastic.
Is that the snack? I get confused.
That's the second one.
That's the second one?
Yeah.
It's Road Warrior and then something in Thunderdome?
Beyond Thunderdome is the one with Tina Turner.
Okay.
And she has great legs in that one.
Okay. I've heard that the third one, story-wise, is just hard to follow. And
there's really no story in any of it. I mean, the first one, I'm pissed and I'm mad, so mm-hmm. I'm going to go get you. But this one's a little... This one feels like a sequel to those two movies more so than the first movie. Okay. Although they have, I mean, whenever he has little flashes of his daughter, that's supposed to be a callback to the first movie, which you're familiar with.
Right.
But you did catch that then, right?
Right, because that was he's thinking about how he didn't rescue them or take care of them. And
yeah, the only thing I can say about this movie is I feel bad for people that have never seen any of the first ones mm-hmm. because I don't think those flashes will mean anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of explain briefly he didn't save his daughter, but it's really minimal. It really feels like a sequel.
Well, I think people that may not have seen it are expecting it to be set up for future films. I think this because there's an obvious cliffhanger at the end that is just wide open for another movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people that are like, oh, that's probably going to be explained in the next film. That's what I would guess is going through their heads. Or maybe they just...
I don't think George Miller cared. He's just like, they gave me all this money, and mm-hmm. I'm going to blow everything up. And,
and he did.
Maybe if I can stick a story point in here at some point, mm-hmm. I don't know where, but it'll be in here somewhere.
I do have a story thing that didn't make any sense to me. Maybe you
can
explain
it. We'll get to the
to
story.
Me.
Let's go. Let's at least keep it somewhat. No, if you got something, go ahead.
Okay. The character that the Nicholas Holt character.
Nooks.
Yeah. Is that his name? He was, you know, obviously wanting, he was going for the main bad guy whose name is escaping me.
Immortan Joe.
Follower, basically like idolized. He was a zealot for Joe.
Yeah. And he switched pretty quick.
What happened to make him switch? I like.
That redhead was hot. And he heard angels sing.
He was down on himself for failing when he tried to do that glorious, like, I'm going to go get her, and then like got caught in the chain. And
this is exactly the same story point the only one I had a problem with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same exact one. Because, it's magic. It's just like he's just laying down. He's like, oh, geez. And then this gorgeous, hey, what's up? And she gets all frisky with him right off the bat.
Let's just lay down next to him. Like, I know you just tried to kill
me.
Yeah,
here, let me rub you a little bit. Yeah. Y'all good?
But it was like a light
switch.
Yeah,
I used to make love to that crazy guy chasing us.
Yeah.
I was his concubine. Yeah.
But his character completely changed too, because he was kind of crazy and jittery, all this, you know, religious nut.
Yeah, he like came down and just completely changed character.
Right, he just took some Adderall and was fine or something. I don't know what happened.
What the hell was that? Was that spray cocaine? Is that what that is?
The chrome mouth thing?
Yeah. It's like, just like, what is this, spray?
Here, have a grill.
Have a grill. Be Little Wayne.
Well, the first time that one guy did it which was an awesome shot, by the way, with the two sticks where he jumped and
oh, man, there's a lot of, like, beautiful shots.
Right, but I got the impression it was, like, an adrenaline rush or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it felt like a drug. It's some kind of,
right,
like, ecstasy or something, like, immediate high.
But the first time it did, when Joe did it to the Nicholas Hoult character, to Nux,
mm-hmm.
It didn't really look like it did had any kind of effect on him. He just looked at him longingly, like I'm being summoned, or
I'm part of you.
Right.
Yay.
It didn't look like
different
it had any
people
kind
have
of...
different effect. Maybe that he had an epiphany after he got high and tried to kill them. I didn't buy it either.
Maybe he just likes redheads.
It was definitely one. It was a plot point. They had to have his help to get there. So, mm-hmm. Did it work? No, not for me. I mean, did it work for you?
That was a minor gripe for me, just because of how quickly it changed.
But I got over it by the end of the movie because, you know, he kind of brought me back to it.
So this isn't a movie you go for story anyway.
Ew, I hope not, because, man, there wasn't one. There was no story. Speaking of the fact that there's no story, it's an action movie, 100% nonstop action movie. George Miller, 70 years old, the guy that directed it, I think this might be the best movie of his career at 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm feeling really good about getting old now.
What else has he done besides the Mad Max films?
I have shots at doing better. Huh?
What else has he done besides the Mad Max films?
Here's what he's done. Babe, Pig in the City.
What?
Yeah, he was producer. He's been doing a lot of producing. He did Happy Feet movies. He's been doing a lot of producing work. He hasn't really been directing in years. Oh, lots of years. He was a producer... on Chain Reaction, so you got
the Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, well,
Keanu
did.
Reeves?
He did direct Babe, Pig in the City, Happy Feet, Happy Feet 2, TWO. So, but that's animation. So I don't know how much he really. I don't know what brought him back into this, but I'm glad he did.
So am
I. I'm so glad he did. Witches of Eastwick was 1987. That was the last one I remember of his.
Wow.
I didn't watch Babe or Happy Feet. I mean, I watched them, but it wasn't like, oh, look at George Miller's artistic direction here. That's fantastic.
If 10 penguins were the full price of admission.
So I'm glad he came back to it. I'm glad he came back to this franchise. I do wonder, from your perspective, since all you wanted was a big kick-ass action movie, did that fill the quota? I mean, is this one of the best action films you've seen in a long time?
I would say it's one of the best shot action films I've seen in a long time. And you know me talking about action movies in the film, the thing that I hate the most is shaky cam.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happened, I could visually keep track of no problem. No matter how insane it got, I knew exactly what was going on. It makes me want to go show this to people that...
Michael Bay.
That do films with... the camera moving around or these weird, stupid perspectives, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. It's
not that hard. Look, just stand still. Mm-hmm. I can see what's going on. Yeah, there wasn't a set piece that I didn't understand what was going on.
Exactly.
And it was just beautiful. The cinematography was beautiful. Everything about it was.
The tone, there's just this tone overall with it being the desolate desert, and it had this
It's quite a desert. Mellow. You got to go like 160 days to get to water, apparently. That's quite a haul.
Well, and but that brings up another point. We talked about other mindless action movies like Furious 7, or was it? It's Furious no, 7, right?
Yeah, it's.
But the last one, Fast 6, the sixth one was the one that was on that like 19-mile runway.
Yeah.
This one, it's okay because they're in like endless desert, so it's okay to buy it. You know what I mean?
Can't they find like an island somewhere? I mean, they got all these cars, they got tons of fuel. Just keep driving. Eventually, you'll find something.
Well, that was her plan, was to go on a motorcycle for 160 days straight, which I don't know how you're going to do that.
I actually kind of think her plan was smarter now that I saw how his plan worked out. I mean, for a couple people, it was smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe they killed a pregnant woman. They ran over a pregnant woman.
Pregnant woman and cut out the dead fetus.
And then just slapped him around.
I was like, holy shit. Like, he's like playing with the umbilical cord like it's a rubber band jump rope or something.
God, he's just bouncing him like a football. It was horrible.
It was unexpected.
Playing soccer with the umbilical cord, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing the whole time. I'm like, that guy is really just fumbling around with baby parts.
And speaking of unexpected, just... There were multiple moments in this. I don't usually audibly react to scenes in a movie. I did at least 3 or 4 times in this movie. And one
like
of them,
which ones?
The one I'm thinking of in particular was when Joe got his face ripped off.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, so good.
Because usually you're expecting like this big monologue or him dangling off a cliff and saying some witty line and letting him go.
No, Max, I expect you to die.
And wow, that's actually like really clever how you brought that around. But this was she did say a line, "Remember me," I think is what she said.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was really. Memorable.
But it was so fast you almost didn't even realize that she had something hooked onto his face and just ripped it right off. And I went whoa right in the middle of the theater. I was like, whoa, sorry guys.
That's so funny.
Because they don't show stuff like that in movies. I know this is R-rated, but even in R-rated movies, they usually kind of hide stuff. There was another scene where a guy fell off the rig and actually hit one of those big tires, and then before he got run over,
oh, yeah.
Usually they'll show him like fall on the ground, and then you'll see like a side shot of the rig, and it'll bounce, whatever. But this is no. He flat on just hit that tire.
Oh, so good, man. There were so many stunts in this movie where I was just sitting there on the edge of my seat going, I love it. I want to go get in a car. I want to get with these pole cats, and I want to just ping pong back and forth all night long.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Were you a tiny little bit disappointed that he never got his car back in this
film? A little bit. I was waiting for the moment, like, at the end where you see him driving away, I got my fucking car.
Right. Because that was his big deal at the beginning, is that he ran out to find his car and said something about his car. And
yeah, you got my jacket and my car. Right. I mean, they took everything from him.
Speaking of, that whole scene where he's escaping at the beginning was in the trailer, in the second trailer that I told you about.
Oh, see, I hadn't seen that. So I was like, I was in the edge of my seat.
A lot of that scene was in the trailer, but you were under the impression that he actually escaped. I love that was like the opening set piece, and then they recaptured him.
Yeah.
And the next scene, you see him like on the front of a thing with his attached with the intravenous blood transfusion thing.
I love that you don't actually see his face like cleanly until maybe what 40 minutes into the movie. I mean, it was a while,
and it's almost like a relief when he does. You almost feel relieved even though you don't have the thing on your face.
Yeah, because I felt like I'm in pain this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings us to what did you think of Tom Hardy as Max? Because you did see Mel Gibson as Mad Max. Mm-hmm. Now he played it kind of the same. I mean, it wasn't really
very
that
stoic.
Very stoic. There were times where I thought he fumbled his dialogue, or he, I don't know, just the way he said his dialogue, I'm like, are you borderline retarded? I'm just like, you feel like one of the slow kids at this point.
Right, yeah.
I mean, not in a bad way, it's just the way that he delivered the dialogue, I'm like, maybe Max isn't quite as there. I feel like he should be greeting at Walmart a little bit.
Well, not that bad, but I kind of feel like his character shifted a little bit, because the opening scene, which was awesome, with him standing there in the desert and doesn't even look at the bugger or lizard or whatever and just kicks it with his heel, picks it up and eats it. It's just like he's a badass. This is going to be badass. And I don't know how to say this. I sound like a dick, but like when he's trying to resuscitate Charlize Theron's character, Furiosa, you see this heart in him that I almost didn't want to see. I wanted him to be just a badass because it's just an action flick. Let's just keep him a badass.
Well, I like that he finally, she got through a little bit, but it wasn't a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't stay. Well, you knew he wasn't going to stay because he's just not that character.
Right.
But he wasn't getting all sappy. They didn't have a makeout scene. It wasn't all romantic. It really felt like, I got a mutual respect for you now.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're trying to do. I have a mutual respect for you.
Right.
The entire heart of the movie, I thought, was Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she for me, is about the only character I was sympathetic to.
Right.
It's like, you've had a hell of a life. She's trying to do this nice thing for these crazy girls. And you got Max, who's about the most selfish prick you could think of. I mean, he was going to leave them in the desert knowing they're going to get just slaughtered.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty ballsy. For your hero just bailed on a bunch of women, including a pregnant woman.
But weren't you glad that he didn't do the looking in the rearview mirror?
That's what I was waiting for.
I was waiting for it too. And like,
and at one moment you see him look and it's just like, oh God, don't do that. Don't be that movie. And it wasn't. He just kept going.
Yep. And then they had to pull the whole kill switch thing. But
at least that worked though. And at least it got him back into the war machine and it made sense to me.
Right.
It wasn't just some cheap cop out. Always a selfish guy, but really he's got a heart of gold.
Right. Oh, speaking of Charlize Theron, she has the perfect, like, looking sideways, backwards gaze when she's in the car, you know, like, looking behind her.
She has a great badass look.
She does. When she's got, like, the grease and stuff over her eyes.
Yeah.
She just looks determined and badass.
I actually thought she was tougher in the movie than he was. I think I like her character more now that I think about it than him. I really love Furiosa. I just thought that was a great-ass character and tough, and they didn't have to explain that she's female and she's also tough. You know, it wasn't one of those things. She's just a tough character.
Well, plus, I wasn't expecting her to be in the higher ranks of the Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was being called boss.
And she'd worked her way up because she was tough. I mean, apparently she lost an arm for something.
Mm-hmm.
She just had her little nub running around. Hey, Max. Let me rub you there.
Yeah. I'm going to get you.
That's why there's no makeout scene. She couldn't hold him.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Did Arsenio help?
So what do you think of those two? I mean, did you like Hardy as Max?
I guess I
jumped past that.
I kind of... Did he have an Australian accent?
He did. But he only said like 50 words the whole movie. So.
Right. It was... But he said a lot with his actions.
He grunted a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I think he was a little... That's what I heard sometimes. What did he say?
I heard Bane a couple times towards the end.
Did you?
I did. I can't remember the scene. I think it might have been the scene where he's doing the blood transfusion thing.
I don't know, I'm Morton Joe. Well, that's not Bane at all, is it? I don't know what that is.
I think there was a cartoon character, whatever that was. A really sick Barney. Well, I give you permission to die. I don't know. I heard Bane at one point because I remember thinking how the villain had the mask over his face. Mm-hmm. And let's just put that on Mad Max and see what happens.
That's a good point. Yeah. And Immortan Joe is a little bit like Bane, too.
Yeah.
He had a really good voice. Like,
but you could understand what
voice.
He was saying.
Yes, I could.
Very clearly.
I like that the entire movie is basically... This guy doesn't want to lose the 18 women that he's got, like the hot ones. Like, he's fine with the other ones.
Who never got dirty
he's like
through
you.
The whole ride.
He's like if you were a villain, because you'd be sitting there with this room full of fat chicks going, no, this is fine. I need, where they go? Where
the ones that are milking, milking themselves? What was that about?
Mother's milk, I assume it's a delicacy there. It's better than water.
Yeah.
Don't get addicted to the water. Addicted fucker, I need it. It's required.
Something about if you'll miss missing it, is basically what he said.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's not heroin, man. It's water. I need it to live. You son of a... I think he's
Matt Damon
to turn...
loved this movie, by the way.
Matt Damon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's because they're saving water.
Because they're saving so much water. He's not wasting a drop.
So what was your favorite, you were talking about the gorgeous action scenes. What was your favorite shot?
Oh, honestly, probably that end chase with the polecats. Because the pinging back and forth, I thought was just fantastic.
I didn't think that was going to work from seeing that in the trailer.
I
didn't either.
I thought it was going. This is going to be really ridiculous. And in 3D, it looks great. You didn't see 3D.
I didn't. Yeah.
But in 3D, just seeing them bounce from vehicle to vehicle, I thought was great.
Man, you're making me want to go see this in 3D now. Because
I don't know if it's worth like the $5 or whatever, just because I only noticed it a couple times. But there's the couple times I did, it was really cool. And at the very end, it was great.
Yeah, there's the one shot where the guitar, I could tell was going to be
can we talk about what he has? He has music that travels around with him? Is that what it is?
That dude's job is just to stand up there and like shred on guitar for like all the whole trip. Because
I'm just sitting there going, did this turn into a Robert Rodriguez movie? Why is there a guy with a guitar just
the whole time around? I was watching this, I'm going, is this Mad Max or is this like the intro movie to Rock Band, the video game? Because that's totally what it looked like. Funny. I wanted to get a screenshot of that and be like, is this Rock Band or is this Mad Max?
I'm pretty sure it's Rock Band. It was fantastic, man. I love the little touches and how absolutely batshit crazy it was, but it never went like too far over. Even Nicholas Holt's character probably came really close a lot of times, and he backed it off. As soon as he got to camp, he kind of backed it off. Mm-hmm. Where did you think it came close?
With the son, the little midget guy in the chair that was looking through the binoculars.
This movie insults everyone.
And his foot was like, one foot was upside down. Is that a real person with an ailment or was that CGI? I don't know.
I assume it's a little person. It's probably wrong to ask. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
That's one of the,
write a letter. Go ahead.
That's one of those scenes that I wish weren't in there, not because of any offensive thing. I just, that's a scene that's going to turn people off and not see this awesome movie. You know what I mean? Like someone that doesn't like weird.
I get what you're saying. You know what I mean? I definitely think there are some, just like the original films, there's some odd stuff in there that's definitely going to make people go, eh.
Or when they go through the swamp and there's like the stick people that are.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
There wasn't any explanation or the guy that got shot in the eye and lost his eyes and then wrapped a bandage around his eyes and drove through blind firing guns. And
he was mad, Scott. If you got your eyes shot out, you'd be mad too.
Oh, that's why it's called Fury Road.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and Furioso. Furiosa. And she's...
I did like that scene, though. The one part about that scene that I thought was cool.
It's her road.
When it was night after they got through the swamp. And Max left and said, I'll be right back, basically. And she's like, well, what if you're not here by the time the engines cool off? Well, then go. And instead of showing this whole awesome or ridiculous scene.
Yes, I love that.
You just see like a light explosion in the background and he trapes back carrying all this web. I loved that. Because normally you would see this whole extra 20, probably 10 or 15 minute scene of him doing that. Mm-hmm. I just love the subtlety of seeing that explosion and coming back.
It's like what they wanted to do in Godzilla, but did it wrong.
Right. They did it for the whole movie.
Yeah, they did it for the entire movie. You want to see this big monster fight? We're not going to show you. Yeah. Ever. Exactly. Maybe the last 20 minutes. And in a movie where it was like nonstop action, that's a great break. Because it's not being too campy to where it takes you out of the situation, not being too funny to where you're like, well, that's just ridiculous. It's actually done in a serious way, so it feels like part of the movie. It's just they let you in on the joke. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that. I love that. That was great. That was absolutely great. What did you think about Hugh Keyes Byrne as Immortan Joe? Did you think that as a villain, you thought he carried the weight that needed to be carried?
Yes and no. I think that at some point he was a godlike status because he was broken.
Loved when people were just basically bowing to him.
When you first are introduced to him, he is being covered in this like clear plastic body armor and his body just looks old and shriveled and he has to wear this mask. And I mean, he's Darth Vader without the Force.
That's a good point.
And so people just fear him because I think like the mask is a fear tactic more or less because he's really not, I mean, he's badass and he's imposing, but he's a broken old man to some degree.
That's a good point. Yeah. He's not, like a badass, really. I mean, he is, but he's also a guy. Maybe that's why he had to have them so much because they're his. They make me feel young because they're hot, and they have perky nipples. That was seemed to be a big plot point at certain points.
Yeah,
like, it's awful cold in the desert.
Bright sunshine, like at night, I could see that maybe. But well, they were doing they were doing like wet t-shirt contests because they had the hose. So
yeah, but I mean, like at any point, Lenny mm-hmm. Kravitz's daughter, she was just tweaking everywhere she went.
Who, by the way, I finally realized who that was. It was driving me crazy through the whole movie. She was in X-Men First Class.
Yes,
she played the Dragonfly.
I liked her. I wish they would have given her a bigger part.
Mm-hmm.
Given her a bigger part.
Let's see, man. That shot I mentioned earlier with the two sticks jumping was, I've seen it so many times, but on screen it looked even better.
You know what I love visually is putting Max at the front of the car, and with the mask on and going in that sandstorm. And the sandstorm everybody saw in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure when you get to the theater, you're like, well, I've seen this shot. But when they were driving him into it, I actually had a fear for him. I'm like, mm-hmm. man, that's awful. And seeing it, especially in 3D, I mean, that really worked in 3D.
Yeah.
And the sand, it was a really well done shot. And I actually felt for him throughout that scene.
And when he finally, like, I got to do something and just like punches that back window, I'm like, why didn't you lead with that, dude?
Yeah. Why'd you go through this entire storm and did nothing?
Yeah. Like,
you just look through the window like, hey, what's going on, guys? What's up?
Like a dog in the backseat of a pickup. Like, hey, what's going on? Like, punch the window first. Is that a storm up there?
What are we going to do? And that's what happened. Yeah. I didn't understand that part either. There were several moments where I'm just like, well, that's just ridiculous.
But then you realize you're watching Mad Max Fury Road and it's all
and
good.
And story is not important.
Right.
Which brings me to another point. Did anything not work for you? Was it a bother for you that the story was so light? There's like no character development. We don't get a backstory on Immortan Joe, really. We don't really get Mad Max's backstory. We kind of get one for Charlize Theron. Any of that stuff bother you or took you out of the movie?
It didn't for this viewing, but if I were to watch it again, I think I would start analyzing it more.
Mm-hmm.
I went into this with the expectation of it being a popcorn movie, and that's it. That's what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting to think or any kind of cerebral film. I just went.
It worked out for you,
right? So, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, I kind of wish they would have explained how she lost her arm or. You know, why does
see,
he
I like that they didn't do that.
Right.
That one I was waiting for. I'm like, they're going to have some lame ass excuse as to how she lost the arm. I don't want to know.
No. I don't want to know in this film, but I think it would be cool in subsequent films to maybe get a little bit more backstory. You know what I mean? But as a standalone film here, yes. I like that they didn't do it. I like that they just dropped it right in the middle of it without any explanation. We don't know why Max is running from them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why. Joe, what's his first name?
Immortan. I don't really know if it's a name as so much as a title.
Right, because a lot of them had goofy names. But
there's
Immortan
ton
Joe.
Of people were. I was telling people Scott and I are going to record this reaction podcast basically after the movie. They're like, well, you got to write down all the titles. I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. There's a lot of dumb ones, and I'm not going to go through those.
Right. Furiosa, by the way, is just an awesome name.
It's an awesome name.
It
yeah,
really is.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Finish your.
But yeah, I think. If I were going to watch it multiple times, and I think that's why I don't want to see it a second time, is because I just want it to be that visual masterpiece in my mind. I just want to remember the visuals. I don't want to be having to worry about the story. But I like that we weren't spoon-fed a lot of that. It was just
mm-hmm.
some of it was left to your imagination to kind of fill in the gaps yourself. I mean, was there any backstory in the second and third movies, or was it just...
Really, the first movie is the one with the plot. Beyond Thunderdome had a little bit, but that's also the one that they were really trying to make for American audiences.
Because mm-hmm.
the first two movies felt very Australian, you know, because they were really low budget made in
right.
the Outback and that sort of thing. And this one and the third one felt very much like, we want to get America now because Mel Gibson's mm-hmm. a big star in America.
Right.
And this one felt like from the get-go, they were trying to get everybody.
Right.
Like they want everybody included. I mean, the world. So for me, that's probably why this one works the best,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And there's not a lot of story in the other ones, but there's a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably more story in that first movie than all the other ones combined, including this one.
Oh, here's something that bugged me. And this is just a movie thing. I don't think it's a Mad Max Fury Road thing. I've noticed this in other movies, too. You have a vehicle and you're behind the vehicle. It takes off. You hear it rev the engine and goes off mm-hmm. in the distance. It fades away. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this pile of other cars comes onto mm-hmm. onto screen. And you don't hear them until they're right in
and
front
it just
of the
roars.
Camera. Right. Wouldn't you hear them coming? I mean, I understand
yeah,
for
at some point,
dramatic
yeah.
effect in movies, that kind of thing, but they did it like two or three times in this movie where he's driving off in the distance.
Yeah. But it's more dramatic.
I know. It wouldn't work the other way.
You know what else was very dramatic? When they get out and Max is he first gets that gun and he's got it on him. He's like, water. Water. And then there's like 5 minutes that they're dicking around, fighting back and forth and everything else and taking off. And in the distance, you see this entire herd of right. vehicles coming your way. Nobody's pissing their pants. I would have wet myself. I would have been like, let's go, ladies. Let's go.
Let's figure this shit out later.
let's work through it. Let's go. That was the one part. But I love that they shot it because the whole time I'm like on pins and needles going, oh, my God, they keep getting closer. How far are they?
Yeah, hurry the fuck up.
Yeah, go, chop, 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 chop. Get this fucking thing off. And then I like, what does he use, a nail file to get it off? Nobody's got a key.
he's like running on the back of that rig like...
It's like so funny, man. I love that. Love that. That was great.
But that whole fight too, where you didn't, it was almost like a three-way hand battle or a fist fight between Nicholas Holt character, Charlize Theron, and Tom Hardy's character and Mad Max.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Because you didn't really know who to root for at that point. I mean, you weren't rooting for.
Yeah, you only know because the name of the movie is Mad Max.
So right.
You're like, well, I got to root for this guy. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of a dick. Right. I mean, he just put a gun on a pregnant woman. Like, and kept it on her. He never took it off her. I'm just like, that's kind of a dick thing to do, man. Mm-hmm. You're mad.
What about, you were talking about how you liked how the story wasn't introduced. Immortan Joe seemed super obsessed with that kid that was his. And whether it was a boy, and is it a legacy thing?
It was perfect, and I think the other kids were obviously deformed
right.
to a degree. And this one was going to be perfect, so it was going to be a perfect baby born into this horrible world, I guess.
Right.
That seemed to be like that's what he was trying to do.
But what was wrong with the big brother? I mean, he was a big...
I don't know.
How is he not perfect?
He's too crazy and he angry.
He seemed visually crazy, like with the body paint and the mm-hmm. ash and all that kind of stuff, but he seemed like he had his...
Yeah, it looked like he had a good tan. Everybody else is pale as hell. Everybody else are walking around like it's Twilight.
So. It seems weird that he would be worried about a legacy. It seems like there's some kind of almost like a religion or something going on with Immortan Joe. I mean, he was idolized. We talked about that a little while ago.
The one thing, if they story wise, the one thing, this is probably something I would like, if I would have liked a little bit more explanation to everybody and their whiteness, and they
showed him blowing ash on him at the beginning.
Right, but I mean, like, everybody is like that all the time. It never wipes off, and it's just, like, after a while, I'm like, what?
It started to become like the Foot Clan from Ninja Turtles.
I mean, Nicholas Holt is rolling around in the dirt and the sand or whatever over and over.
And the girls never get dirty, by the way.
No, because they're hot. Scott, hot chicks don't get dirty.
They don't get any kind of dust or dirt on them through all this whole ordeal.
Because they just look at the dirt, and it goes away. And they're just like, check this out. And they go, oh, all right, you don't need that. Goes and it flows over to the fat girls that are still up in that poor cave. Sad that nobody cared if they escaped. I feel bad for them because if they would have jumped on that, they would have. Morton Joe would have been. That's all right. I got this other room. I'm good. Where I lock the hot ones in this vault. Meanwhile, I got these other girls that are just out here milking away.
Oh, so messed
so weird. Up. So weird. I felt like for most of this movie, somebody was just sitting there going, "How messed up can we make this?" Because they finally gave me all this money I've always wanted. I'm just going to see how far I can take it.
Right.
The one thing before we kind of wrap things up, I didn't think, except for like a couple shots, there wasn't a whole lot that warranted an R rating for me. I mean, a lot of it was just like vehicular stuff.
There was
stuff
any like, language.
There was no language. There's no nudity. I mean, there was a subtle piece. There's butt. There's a butt.
When they were milking, that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Well, you could have covered that up. Throw a blankie over that, and it would have been fine. I mean, it just felt like it didn't really need to be rated R.
Man, there's
movies
a lot
today
of,
are pretty close.
I think it had more to do with the visual depiction of the villains. They all were
pretty scary looking.
Yeah, I mean, a little more than PG-13 scary. I mean, a couple of that with...
Is it going to give you nightmares?
No, not me. I'm just saying...
It's all right, dude. I won't judge
14, 15 years old, that'd mess you up if you're...
Maybe you when you were 13 or 14.
Well, yeah, I didn't go.
I'd already seen a lot of
I didn't go see Freddy when I was 4 years old, so.
You missed out. So to wrap things up, we obviously both liked it. You gave it an 8. I gave it a 9.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, man. Do you want a sequel to it?
Yes, absolutely.
How? Here's my question. How would you top it? Could you top it? Could he top it? He's going to be 80 by the time they make the sequel.
I don't know. I'll bet you this will roll out pretty quick. Well, no. You know, honestly, I think this movie is not going to do as well as I expected it to.
My theater was empty, man.
So was mine.
Opening night.
Half.
I mean, I had like 30 people, maybe.
I had more than that. But you also went to the 3D showing, which might have been.
Yeah.
But I probably had about half a theater.
Yeah, that's pretty. On opening night, doesn't sound very good.
And I was shocked. I think we talked about this on the group a little bit, but Pitch Perfect doesn't blow this away in terms of
sales. I think so. We'll find out. I mean, on the next Hollywood Outsider, you'll find out because we'll talk about the box office. But, you know, however it does, internationally, it's going to be huge. It's already pretty big internationally.
I don't know how to top it, though. I mean, you could just do more messed up vehicles. I mean, that's kind of where what I want to see more of is just.
Do you make it Waterworld? Do you like take it to a different area of transportation? Of
well, that
sort?
Wouldn't work in
a train. That wouldn't Snowpiercer.
That wouldn't work in the Mad Max ethos, though, would it? It's all like desolate.
Pretty much. I mean, the one thing I will say is I didn't expect it to be a 2-hour chase movie. I mean, mm-hmm. I did because as we got closer, because of reviews and stuff. But before that, I'm like, there's no way they're going to make a 2-hour chase movie. I was wrong.
Which is, if you think about it, is really funny because it was a chase movie that was from A to B and then B back to A.
Yeah.
The whole movie was like, we go out here and then we're going to come right back to where we started.
And if I was Charlize Theron, as soon as he announced that plan, I would have beat the shit out of him. Like right there. Here's what I think we ought to do. We go back where we started. Wait, what? Yeah, we go right by all those people, that herd of cars, and we just go really fast. They won't even notice us. We'll just.
Well, he made it sound they're going to go like literally right through them.
Yeah.
Like we're going to throw them off like, you know, Han Solo Millennium Falcon, go right towards the towards the Star Destroyer and then hide behind the satellite or
still
something.
Still in hindsight, even though I saw the movie and how it played out, I'm still like, that seems like a really dumb plan, man. Couldn't you drive around them a little bit?
Well,
even further, like. Can't you go just a little bit further away?
If all they're doing is following tracks, you could take a pretty wide berth and get out of sight or behind a mountain or something.
And then by the time they got to where you started turning, like, oh, I know what they're doing. The smart plan. Instead, you know, they're sitting there going, well, that idiot is actually going back. That was dumb.
What did you think about how at the end when he shows Immortan Joe's body to everybody and everybody is like, all right.
I kind of expected that.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, for him to just pull up like that, there had to be something that they were waiting for him to die. And so I assume because she took him out, she takes his place. Is that kind of...
That's what I gathered.
That's what I got, yeah.
But again...
She became the Lion King.
It felt almost like a relief even to those that were following him. They're like, thank God he's gone. We don't have to follow him anymore.
Well, yeah, because she is, you know, nice and compassionate and generous, and she shares the water, and she's not an evil wench who's milking people.
Right. Ugh. The green place, by the way. I don't that phrase, the green, we're going to the green place. green place is not a myth. I've seen it.
He's 70, dude. He's probably senile when he's writing the script. He's just like, I can make cool pole cat chases. I don't know what else to do. The green place. That's where I'm going soon.
By the way,
because I'm almost dead, Scott.
What was that faction of people that when she first escaped or she veered off the road and headed east, right? And then into hostile territory, I'm saying it with air quotes. And whatever race of people that were like, all right, more people to kill.
Mm-hmm. Jawas?
Yeah. Their vehicles were the coolest.
Yeah, spike cars.
They look like porcupines on wheels. Yeah. And they were, that's what I want more of. I would come back to my comment earlier, is if you're going to top the next one, is make more insane, ridiculous vehicles that are awesome. Not guitars and drums.
I kind of liked it though, man.
I did. It was.
They didn't overdo that. They did it just enough. And then there's a battle with the guitar, and I thought that was really funny and cheesy at the same time.
And that was where the CG was a little like, does that dude have a red face? Is he screaming like a banshee?
Yeah, I'm like, what does he have, his face tied back? I don't understand. Is he pinhead? I don't know what the hell
is
going on.
Is it Red Skull? I didn't know what was going on.
Is Captain America around? I don't know.
I still want that dude's job. Your job is to stand up here. We're going to hold you up with chains, and you're just going to thrash in the guitar for the next 12 hours while we chase.
And then when Tom Hardy comes at you, just swing the guitar at him a couple times.
And then whenever he hits him, with the guitar, flames come out of the end of it. That was so awesome.
I'm telling you, somebody just, they didn't even have a script. Like, as they were going, they're like, well, where are they going? The Green Place. What? Yeah, yeah, the Green Place. That's what they think.
Oh. Plot question. He showed, Max showed Furiosa a map or a tattoo, like a little red dot, and said, here's where you want to go.
Yeah, I think that was from the other movies, but I can't remember what it was, so I'm sorry.
But again, from someone that hasn't seen those movies, that didn't make any sense.
It was totally random. Yeah, totally random.
Yeah.
So that was probably something. One more. There's several things, now that we're talking about it, that probably should be explained a little better. Or at all. Great. Yeah,
right.
Would be great.
He always defended himself by putting his hand to his forehead. Did you catch that?
I love the dart to the hand. Oh, I forgot about that. That was so cool. I'm like, I mean, you know he's not going to die, but you're sitting there going, he's actually got his hand stuck to his forehead. That's fantastic.
He's like walking around with his forehead.
Yeah. He's like, what's up? Hey, I'm waving. Hi. In terms of going back to the sequel, yeah, I want one, and I really don't know, but they would have to get crazy. They would have to amp up the action. I don't know how you do that,
because
they already went crazy balls out.
Yeah.
If they never made another one, though, I would be sold. I guess Tom Hardy signed on for 4, so they couldn't make more of them. But, I mean, if, like, this didn't do very well, so they never made it, I'd be like, man, it ended great. It from start to finish, it was a fun movie. Just great.
It's going to depend on how well it does, because I was kind of disappointed in the lack of numbers in my theater. Granted, I went to a 8:15 showing.
That's still opening weekend, though.
Yeah, it's opening weekend.
Friday night. I mean, we're recording this Friday night, like right after a movie. So word of mouth, I think, is going to carry this movie.
Think so?
Make it or break it. Make it or break it.
So please, I want more of this, so please tell your friends if you've seen it.
Go see it. I think we can pretty much wrap it up. Is there anything more you want to talk about this?
Well, nothing about the movie, but I just want to say to those listening, please understand that we did not prep this at all. We didn't have any organized. We're speaking very sporadically right now, so we apologize if we're jumping all over the place, but we're both kind of high on this movie right now. And
Spray Coke high, though.
What's that?
We're not Spray Coke high.
Spray Coke.
Well, but I really want to find some, though.
Silver
I want
grill.
To find that Silver Grill.
Blang, blang.
Yeah, the Lil Wayne cocaine.
What about you? Any closing remarks?
I want people to go see it. Yeah. It's the kind of movie that you're not going to see more of if people don't go see
it. Well, I assume people listen to this. We'll have
already have seen. But you know what? I do think some of our listeners probably just heard it all because they've been... I'll listen to the podcast, man. I don't plan on seeing that. And hopefully we've given you enough to say, all right, it's batshit crazy enough. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And if you leave and you don't like it, or you went and saw it and you didn't like it, email us. I want to hear why you didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of story points, I can't think of any reason why you wouldn't.
There are a couple of visual weird things that I could see.
There's a lot of visual weird things.
But that could turn someone off.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wish there were a... I wish there were a version that were just all the action scenes, even without the story. You know, just
like, it would be about 12 minutes shorter, I think. It wouldn't be that much shorter.
But there is, so much of that was like, I could imagine some people just seeing that and being like, all right, I'm out. I'm walking out of the theater.
There's a lot of weirdness. There is a lot of weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fair. Well, we both really liked it. I hope you guys did. I think that pretty much does it for this special episode, right?
I believe so.
The regular hoe is going to be out every week, as always, so just keep an eye on it. Thanks for listening to our special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Tell your friends, subscribe on iTunes. Also, want to say thank you to David McGrath, who sent in a review that's on the website.
So thank you, David.
Be sure to check that out.
Saw it 2 days before I did. Bastard.
I hate when people have better lives than me. Tell your friends, subscribe on iTunes, listen on your Stitcher Radio app, give us a thumbs up there. Give us a review on iTunes. We will read your reviews on the show. Or just subscribe on your podcast app through our RSS feed. Website is thehollywoodoutsider.com, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. On Twitter, it's h_outsider. And email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Scott, do you want to close it out?
Next time you go to the theater, buy popcorn.